Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your girl, Gail Delicious Johnson, and I'm going to bring in my co-host, Rhea. Hello, Rhea.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I must have said it too soon.
Why?
No, because I said it. I said hi when you said that.
Oh, okay. I was hitting the wrong button. Silly me.
Well, see, I'm not doing all that coughing right now, so because I know when we talked earlier, you probably heard it. So I don't have you on mute, and I have to fight the fan which button to push.
Oh, okay. And the chat room is working, so that's a good thing. But are you ready for this?
Huh? It wouldn't boot up. I don't have my computer. It wouldn't boot up. And I'm over my daughter's house, so it would have been. I have to be to work at 7 tomorrow. And she's one bus route all the way to our loop area. So instead of going home, I stayed at her house. So I could have had all the Wi-Fi I needed, but my computer wouldn't boot up.
Okay. Oh, well, that's okay. I got my chat room up this evening. So are you ready for this evening's guest?
Sure I am.
Okay, I'm going to bring Lamont Carey in. Good evening, Lamont.
Hello.
How are you? How are you?
Mumble sauce. Would you like mumble sauce with your wings?
Ah, silly rabbit. How you doing this evening?
I'm good. What's happening?
Nothing much. You want to tell our listening audience a little bit about Lamont Carey?
Oh, I was online and I was on Blog Talk and I see that your show was currently airing, so I figured I would call in.
Oh, please. Whatever. What, he's a comedian among other things. He's multi-talented, so, let's start off with what are you doing now? You know, what's going on? I know we're going to get to your book because you did publish your first novel, which is The Hill, which I read. It's a very interesting book. It was an easy read, but, you know, I spoke to you about the little things that I thought was wrong with it, but it didn't take anything away from the story. So we'll get into that eventually, after we find out a little bit about Lamont Carey.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell me something about Lamont Carey, or, I mean, what's going on?
Lamont, what is it that you do? I know
tonight
you're multi-talented, so just tell us, you know.
Tonight I'm an author. That's what I am tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a variety of stuff that I do, but tonight I'm an author.
That is true. You also are a spoken word artist, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a spoken word artist, too.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. How did you come about to be a spoken word artist?
I was at a venue. I was invited to come to a venue by the host, and I saw some artists performing, and I wasn't like, I was like, I could have done better, and I wasn't really impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person I told happened to be the host, so when he got back on stage, he said, the next person to the mic and is Lamont Carey. Right. So,
wow.
Okay, so you got to the mic. Were you nervous, or what did you do?
Yeah, because I wasn't a poet. I wasn't a spoken word artist. So I didn't know what I was going to do up there. And so what I eventually ended up choosing to do was to do something that was totally different than what I heard and experienced that night. And so I created a piece on the spot, and that's how I got into spoken word.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it was never really, you never thought of even being a spoken word artist until that.
Yeah, I didn't even know what this, I didn't even know what spoken word was.
Wow. And you've been doing that for how many years?
Probably about 6.5, 7, something like that.
Wow. So I also understand that a lot of your poetry is being used in the school system.
Well, not
a particular piece is being used.
Yeah,
in the
a particular piece. I mean, it's being used in the school system in Canada, but in the U.S., it has been used in schools. A lot of it was out without my knowledge, and some with my knowledge. So spoken word has been good to me. It's opened up a lot of doors for me to be able to do all those other things that I didn't mention that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Spoken word was my introduction to everything except acting.
Mm-hmm. So are you flattered by the fact that someone who's using your spoken word, the ones who you didn't know that was doing it, or does that cause some type of ill feelings for you?
As an artist, as being a full-time artist, I have mixed feelings. I'm delighted that people find my work enjoyable enough that they want to share. But being a full-time artist, I like to create license agreements is where I can continue to pay my Sprint bill.
Okay. Well, I also know that you have a CD out titled Image. Imagine. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that CD?
I freestyled Imagine, because remember I wasn't a spoken word artist, and somebody asked me, I mean, the first time I performed, they enjoyed it, and so I was invited to come back, and so the next time I came, somebody asked did I have a CD or anything for sale, and so I didn't, and so that week I went into a studio and, like, made up my whole CD.
Wow. So it's been doing well, I'm sure.
Yeah, my CD it does pretty good. It's okay.
Okay. Because I have that CD. I have the very first one that you did.
Right.
Imagine. Yeah. But you revised it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did some, like, remixes. Added some music.
Yeah.
So I became like a producer on the second go around of the CD because I did everything in house. So I revised it, added music. As I grew in the art form, I learned that what I could have done better to make it more commercially appealing. And so music was one of the ways, so it's been played on some radio stations, stuff like that, once I added the music. Well, some radio stations were playing it. Well, Canada actually, for some reason, Canada really likes me. But it was a Canada station called CKUR, I believe it is, and it's in Alberta, Canada. This is like a spot that is covered in ice. And they had my CD in rotation without the music. But I just know in the U.S., I had a better chance of being aired on the radio with music. So I went back and created the music.
You said in the U.S. you had a better chance?
Right.
Oh, okay.
You know, because, you know, our radio is custom to, you know, dance music, love music, and the mood is usually set by music, so it's, music is like one of their standards, you know what I'm saying? And so to get airplay on regular stations, I figured I had to add music to it, and so I did that.
Okay.
Now, how did your work get in Canada? Did you Did they just pick it up on their own, or do you have some kind of influence over there?
Well, when the radio station that initially started playing my music, playing my CD in Canada, they were a part of an event where I was performer, was a featured performer, and they wanted to interview me afterwards. And so after the interview, they talked about, did I have a CD? They would love to introduce me to their Canada audience. And so that's how that came about.
Wow. That was the CD first, and then your spoken word got into the school system, or vice versa?
Yeah, my spoken word didn't get into the school system until years later.
Okay.
And so now I've sold like CDs, Austria, Africa, I mean, all over now. So I've been fortunate, especially because I wasn't no spoken word artist, so I'm very pleased, and I try to be humble, you know.
And pay your Sprint bill.
Right. I wear my shirts up, my shirt collars up and everything, man. I got, like, superstar glasses and everything.
So are you a comedian?
Say that again?
I said, are you a comedian?
Not at all.
No,
just
okay.
You know, you gotta be versatile when it comes to paying them phone bills. So if I can make some money telling some jokes, I'm gonna tell some jokes, even though I don't have no jokes. But I like singing though.
The only bill you have is a phone bill. You lucky.
Say that again.
That's all you talked about is your phone bill. The only bill you have is a phone bill. You lucky.
Well, the phone bill is, like, the most important, because in order for me to stay in business, that joint got to be able to ring. And I usually use the phone book, I mean, the cell phone, because everybody can relate to it. You know what I'm saying? Even,
I got that.
Like, five-year-old babies got cell phones. So everybody can.
Wow.
Okie dokie.
Okay, so I know also that you are a filmmaker as well, and you have made a film that was going to be a TV series, Laws
right.
of the Street.
Right.
Okay, what's going on with?
What's actually this week? We're about to go into negotiations or what have you, to actually have the show redone and put on a network. So I'm saying it's not confirmed yet. We're just in the talking stages, but there's some strong interest in bringing the show onto the air. So I'm enjoying that right now, at least the potential that has arisen for that project.
Okay, and I also understand that you did a stage play, Laws of the Streets.
Right. That's currently on DVD.
Mm-hmm. And then what branched off from Laws of the Street was How to Be a Mommy?
Right.
Yeah, that
was both of the plays. Both of the plays branched off from Laws of the Street.
Mm-hmm. They were.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
They were held at the Kennedy Center.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
So how did that come about? Because, you know, the Kennedy Center is a big deal. So how did you, yeah.
Wow.
So how did you get to get your plays at the Kennedy Center?
Well, I had actually performed at the Kennedy Center 2 to 3 times prior before the play. And so one of my actual contacts there, they had approached me about an opportunity to put on a play, because they heard about Laws of the Street, the film, and they actually thought that it was a stage play.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I'm an opportunist. And so I was like, yeah, wait, you sure? Yeah. I took pieces of the actual series and expanded on it and turned it into a stage play. Like, the first play was like a snippet of one of the character's story, I mean, backstory and so forth. And the second play, which is learning to be a mommy, it comes from one of the main characters' story along with, like, four of the characters. So all of it derived from the actual script, The Laws of the Street, the series.
Oh, wow. Okay, I saw that, How to Be a Mommy, and pulling it off the way you did with no props or anything, that was really amazing.
My thing with the not using the props was because, one, wasn't a whole lot of money to put on a big show, but more importantly than that, because I was a newbie in playwriting or play productions, I wanted to show that I mean business, that I'm professional, and that I work with grade A actors, and a lot of the actors were new. A lot of them were their first time acting on the series, mm-hmm. And so I figured, without using props and get you to come into this imaginary world that we created, will cement that I'm a playwright that is to be watched.
Right, right. Well, it was definitely a good play, and the actors really, you know, did their part, because I did see it. I haven't saw the play, the movie, Laws of the Street on tape yet, but eventually I will. Also, you were an actor in the TV series The Wire. How did that come about?
But more important than act on it, because I only had like three little parts. But that came about. I was acting in a play in the Hip Hop Theater Festival, and somebody from The Wire approached me backstage of that play that I was a part of, and that's how I became a part of it. That's how I got on the show.
Okay. And also, you're doing a documentary, Outside the Gate.
Yep.
Explain to us what that's all about.
Outside the Gate is a documentary that features four ex-offenders who have successfully transitioned back in the community, and one of them happens to be me. It's so much, like, negativity that surrounds ex-offenders, or the statistics usually are focused on those who have come home and reoffend. And so I wanted to give hope to families, to communities, and to ex-offenders, which is called Return to Citizens now, that they can change their life, that they can be successful. And so that is the purpose of this documentary.
Okay, what has been your contribution to society since you've been home?
I ain't been breaking no law.
You sure? Okay,
now,
so
my contribution is, one, I'm not committing any crimes. Two, I'm trying to be, not intentionally be an example that anybody can follow, because I don't want nobody really follow me, but I want to show that second chances can be the greatest chances. And so I use my past in the arts, because I know prison life, I know the street life, from the drugs to the guns, and so I try to address social issues through the arts, and I mentor and all of those stuff. So my contribution to society is my life.
Oh, okay. And also from your prison stay, you also created something called Serving in Time.
Yes, yes.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Serving in Time is my prison pen pal site. And the goal is, because prison is like one of the loneliest places, and I'm sure like some people like applaud that, but most prisoners are going to be released at some point in their life. And we a lot of prisoners come home with no support system, and so they feel self-esteem broken, confidence broken, and I figured that I would try to keep them connected to society in a way that they can create support system, find housing, find jobs, and so they'll come home and have a real good start at with their second chance. And I initially was supposed to be like a calendar. I was going to do an inmate, a prisoner calendar. And so you gonna, when you go on the site, you're going to see a lot of dudes with their shirts off. They was actually my models, but I didn't do the calendar.
Do you have any plans of doing it anytime in the near future?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do the calendar. If we could do firemen and police and strippers, we could do prisoners.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good thing. So what is the money going to go towards? Is it going to be some type of fund set up for them?
Towards Sprint.
Okay.
Well, Sprint must be doing a number on you.
Wow. Okay.
Well, to be honest, the money is going to go towards I have a nonprofit called Contact Visits that I'm just really getting back into. And that is also the goal with that company is to help returning citizens or ex-offenders, whatever you want to call them, to successfully transition back into the community. So I'm going to have to, you know, I got to pay staff. I got to create programs, buy supplies. So some of the funds is going to go into that. So the website is going to generate income, and the income going to be funneled back into the program, which still helps that population.
Okay. So Contact Visit, that's what exactly is that? You said transition.
It's a nonprofit. It's a 501c3.
Okay. Well, I don't know what a 501c3 is, but
well,
okay.
It's just another word for nonprofit.
Okay. All right. So I understand you also self-published your book, and you have a publishing company, or you're a publisher?
Yes. It's LaCurie Publishing.
Okay. And how long have you had that?
Actually, I've had that probably 6 months before the book came out.
Okay, well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So we're going to get into your book now. Oh, no. First, I want to finish talking this conversation before we get into your book. You also have a few other things, upcoming projects. Capers is one. That's another novel that you're going to write.
Right.
Okay, can you give us a little? Oh, it's written? So when is it going to be
written? Yeah, Capers is written. Well, I'm not sure when Capers is going to be ready for release, because right now I have maybe 8 novels that's already written that's ready to be released. But the opportunities that I have now calls for me to create other projects from scratch. So, but I have another fiction novel that's actually a part 2 to The Hill.
Uh-huh.
That's called The Wall, and I have probably 6 more chapters. I got 34 chapters written,
mm-hmm.
and so I got like 6 more chapters that I'm gonna write before I decide if that's gonna be the next project I'm gonna release. And I have 2 other projects. One is 20 businesses that ex-offenders can start, and the other one is 10 businesses that children can stop.
Okay. Okay, what about another? You're going to do a sequel to The Hill. When is that going to be released?
I don't know. I'm not sure which, like, of the three I just named, which one is going to come first. The wall may come first, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But Capers that you mentioned, Capers is definitely coming because that is actually my favorite book. It's actually the first book that I have ever written,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just not in a rush to release it yet.
Oh, okay, and that's your favorite book.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Oh, okay. So it's more favorite to you than the Hill?
Well, yeah, because it's the first one. You know how your firstborn child, some people like better than the other 16 children that they had and follow.
Okay.
Your first house, your first boyfriend. You know how you like all of the first better? So
yeah.
That's why it's better, because it's the first one that I had ever written.
Oh, okay, well, then what made you release The Hill before you released that one?
Because I wanted to, like, fine-tune Capers. I wanted to re-look at Capers, re-experience it, and to see if I wanted to make any changes to it. And so The Hill was more ready. The Hill was ready for release than Capers was. And plus, others that had read The Hill, some of them liked The Hill better than they liked Capers. So I just went with where I thought the demand would be.
Oh, okay. So The Hill, got it. And then there's another one you're working on, The System.
Yeah, it's actually The System, Intimate Betrayals, Rainbow Mountain, something Mafia, Blue Eyes. It's a few. It's children books and all of those stuff. So it's a few. It's like 8 books that I already have written, but 7 because The Hill is out.
Mhm. And The Redeemer too.
Right, The Redeemer. Yeah, I like The Redeemer as well.
Mhm. And you're also doing like a self-help book.
Yeah. Well, I consider
How to Make Money.
How to Make Money as a spoken word
spoken
artist.
Word.
It's really for artists in general. So I don't know when I'm gonna release that, because I wanna help people accomplish their goals, but I also wanna help save lives, and I think books like The Hill does that as well, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm. And another one is Transition from Prison to Success.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. That one isn't written. I mean,
oh, okay.
It's written in my head, but it's not written like on paper, or it's not on the thumb drive or anything.
Okay. All right, so we're going to take a little pause, and when we come back, we're going to get into The Hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome back. That's Alicia Keys, Like You'll Never See Me Again. Tonight we're talking with... Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Tonight we're talking with Lamont Carey, the multi-talented Lamont Carey, and we're getting ready to discuss his book, The Hill.
Hey, can I say something, though, before you get into the book?
Sure.
I don't know what's up with the music you playing, because first I come in and you had, like, baby oil playing, and I was like, holding the phone, and I was, like, moving slow, like dancing, right? And then I was just rubbing lotion on my hands, right, because my hands was kind of ashy. And then you got Alicia Keys playing, and I look around, I done rub lotion, like, up to my elbow, like, real slow and stuff, man.
Okay. I told you he was a comedian, real. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask Lamont before we get into his book?
Are there any of your plays on DVD?
Yes. Laws of the Street, the play is on DVD.
Okay.
Where can she purchase it?
From LamontCarey.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to get into The Hill. Like I said, I read the book. It was a very good story. The ending was sort of like sad for me. I'm not going to give away too much of the book, but we're going to let Lamont expound on it. The main character, Sherman, what I gathered, Sherman was, he had his issues, but he was more of a, it seemed to me like he kept to himself, but he didn't take any mess. And, what had happened to him when he first got to prison had actually caused something else to happen. But how did you come up with these characters? Sherman, John, KT, Brace, Gangster, and Ella was his girlfriend. Susan was the police guard. And Tim, well, that was John's brother. But how did you come up with these characters, and where did you get the storyline for your book?
I wrote The Hill when I was in a maximum security prison.
Mm-hmm.
And usually for me, most of my books or what have you start with a character or an ending. And so if I started off with Sherman, I know Sherman has to meet somebody. And so I usually just, when a character come into the picture, I just name them the first name that I could think of. So it's like really no significance to the names, but I have a little brother by the name of Sherman. So that's probably where that name came from. And it's a guy in my past that I knew who name was Gangster. And I'm sure there are a million Tims. So the reason for me writing The Heal, I wanted to write something that gives kids a look into prison, like some of the worst prisons, and I wanted to not glorify violence, but show you, or show them how doing or saying the wrong thing can lead to severe consequences. And so in the book, that's what Sherman did. He experienced severe, and people experienced severe consequences for minor violations.
Because reading it, I could actually see some of the things that was going on. It was, you know, graphic and really, you know, give you something. Huh?
Really violent?
Yeah, violent, very violent. And I'm just saying, wow, you know, if I was, I've been locked up myself, but it's a difference in women's prison and than in the men's prison. But, you know, I could just see this, the scenes of the violence and the drama and the different things that was going on. And it's just almost as if it was a movie like playing in my head that I was seeing. The things that had happened to Gangster and Brace going through what he was going through with the she-male, and how Sherman took care of it, and the guard and his girlfriend, you know, all these things. I could, like, actually I could see these things happening, you know, like it was on a big screen.
Right.
So
how being when I wrote those books, I didn't know nothing about, like, writing novels or anything. I was actually challenged to write. And so I wanted to write something that I could enjoy. But more importantly, I wanted to write something that inmates could enjoy, as well as kids, and kids be scared straight, because that's what the book is for. But I knew if I can win over hardcore maximum security prisoners, then I can, the public going to be easy. You know what I'm saying? And so when I was writing those books, I mean, sometimes I couldn't even make it to the end, because guys would be coming to me, man, let me read that next chapter, let me read that next chapter. And so that's when I was like, wow, it might be a future for me in this.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start writing it? When you first got in prison, or, and how long did it take you to write it?
Well, The Heel, I think I wrote in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Capers, I know it took me like a month, because all you got is free time on your hand. So I spent my time pushing out them books, because I had a waiting fan base.
So did you write all these books when you were in prison?
Yes, except for like my... all the fiction books, yeah, I wrote in prison. All the books that's getting ready to come out, except for the job, well, I mean, the starting the companies, and the wall. The wall is the one that I'm completing
now.
You're
doing now. Right.
Right. I didn't do them in prison. But Capers, The Heel, The Mafia One, Intimate Betrayals, Redeemer, all of those I created. Daddy's Little Girl, all of those I've written while I was in prison.
Wow. So can you just give us a little snippet, you know, just tell us a little teeny bit about the story, just to pique, you know, my listener audience curiosity, because I'm quite sure they're going to be ordering the book.
Well, the book, again, is Sherman is the focus of the story, but he comes in contact with, I mean, basically kids. KT was like 17 or 19. Gangster was like 16. So it gives you a look inside of the makeup of prison. There are old prisoners, there are young prisoners, They are armed brotherhoods, the racists who don't like blacks, they're Hispanic gangs, and it just take you through the journey of a man that doesn't have a whole lot of time, because he had like 5 to 15 years, and he's put into prison with like KT, who had like 302 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he interacts with these guys, but when you're put in a prison where stabbing and murder take place all around you, how much time you have, you lose track of, because you become in survival mode. And so the younger guys like KT and Gangsta, I think they were picked on by like a muscular homosexual or what have you, and they band together to protect each other. And so prison is made up of don't disrespect me. And so you can have somebody in there, I think, got stabbed over like the tray in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Actually was brutally murdered over a tray in the kitchen. And most people would think, wow, that's some senseless violence. Why would he kill somebody over a tray? But the bigger picture is the tray was only symbolic. The disrespect of it was more major. So in my experience in prison, I mean, you have guys that have gotten stabbed or killed over boxes of Little Debbie's. You remember Little Debbie's Delicious?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure do.
So those like the Hostess cupcakes, ladies and gentlemen, you can get killed over a Hostess cupcake. If I give you a Hostess cupcake and you're supposed to pay me two back and you don't pay me, it becomes disrespectful. And the thought in prison is, if I allow you to take that from me and don't pay me back, then others will come and take that from me. So the story takes you on a journey of a man that is living in fear. So he connects with somebody from his childhood neighborhood who's an older guy that is like he see as a leader. Other young guys respect him and things of that nature. And so this, on a daily basis, this is his experience. He's living in a dorm in the beginning, where there are like 300 inmates,
mm-hmm.
right? This is not cell. This is like bunk beds beside each other. And so if we had an argument early in the day when the lights go out, people get murdered. You have to take it, and how dangerous the place is, you have to take a shower with your boots on. You are not supposed to walk in the shower without something, just in case you get in a fight, you need something with grips on it so you won't be slipping and sliding in the shower. And another rule of the shower is you are supposed to wear your boxer drawers in the shower. You are not to come in the shower butt naked with other men.
Wow.
And so In the show, we learn about, like I said, we meet a variety of characters with different personalities. A lot of them hurt because their family members have abandoned them. A lot of them turn to homosexuality, so we deal with drug abuse. We deal with drug selling. We deal with HIV and AIDS. Just so many things that I covered in this little, I think it was like 298 pages, that'll give you a real glimpse into prison life. Now, some of the violence is happening more than it may actually happen in the actual institution, but depending on what institution.
Mm-hmm.
There, because in places like Rikers Island, in Lawton, when Lawton was open, stabbings happened somewhere in Lawton on a regular basis. I actually had a buddy who was stabbed like 80 times and died on the compound. So I try to give my readers a real look, a real view into prison life, because a lot of the stuff that we see in the media is not real, even to the point where, like, Raw. Raw is a real, it happens in real prisons and all of that old stuff, but a lot of the stuff they don't show you.
Right.
A lot of the stuff that you see on Raw is dudes bragging about how vicious they are in prison. That doesn't happen. Everybody is there silent. You don't boast and brag because somebody going to come at you. And so The Hill is a real look into prison. I mean, I wrote it to prevent kids from going to prison. But you have to be mindful. It is, when I say Raw, I mean there's profanity, there's extreme violence. So I didn't hold back because I didn't want to water it down.
Right.
But the book is doing extremely well on Amazon, Kindle, out of the trunk. I mean, it's about to be an Amazon bestseller soon. So.
Oh, okay.
I love the book.
Yeah, like I said, it definitely was a good read, you know, because I could see exactly what was going on. And if I had never been to prison, I'll never go back. But it would give me the incentive of not wanting to do anything to go into prison if I was a male. Because, like I said, the female prison is entirely different than being locked up the males being locked up. And it touched on everything, like you said. It was basically, they did any and everything in jail except for have their freedom, because there was drugs, money, sex, violence. You know, it was just a whole inside world that the prisoners had created for themselves. And all they did, and everything that they wanted to do, except for they didn't have their freedom.
And when she talked about sex, that wasn't like just homosexual. I mean, there was gods between sex.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Prisoners and God, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and believe me, that is also true, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I know. I know about the guards and having sex with the inmates. But, the book
was... I think it's a book that your hardcore nephew, your hardcore son, or that little bad boy or girl that you like is just out of control. I think I know The Hill will have a serious effect on them, or at least on their thoughts on prison. And because I have adults that have read that book and was like, man, I ain't never breaking the law. I'm not making no more illegal turns in the street or nothing. I am not trying to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm accomplishing what I set out to accomplish.
Now, this book, are you introducing it to school children and colleges and different venues like that?
Yeah, right now we are working on getting it into the colleges, like the law, because a guy bought the book who is a law student, and he was like, man, I learned more about prison through your book than the trips that we've taken to the prisons. And so we're working on now to reintroduce to his college professor and college professors that practice criminal law and things of that nature now. Some of the schools, how it's going to reach the children, it's going to have to reach the children through the parents, because I'm not confident that schools will purchase the book directly because
right.
of the content.
Right.
So, but I've had parents that have bought copies and came back to buy copies for other members of their family.
Mm-hmm. Callers, if you have any questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877, and we do have a caller on the line. I'm going to bring this caller in. Good evening, caller 334.
Hey, Dallas.
Hello, Miss Kane.
Hey.
You
hey,
have a question,
how
comment?
You doing? Yes, I do.
Okay.
So I didn't know that Lamont did time. I didn't know that. Wow. Learn something new every day. But what you said that this is basically for that the book can be read by school kids and teenagers. So at what age would a school child start? I guess what would be appropriate age for a school child to read your book?
Well, I'm thinking 12 and up, but it depends on the parent and what the parent is ready to introduce their kid to. If you have an 10-year-old that's off the chain, that's maybe considering hustling or something, this may be something to introduce them to. Because I know my first child, I was like 10 years old. I had shot a kid with a BB gun on the school playground. So, and I got kicked out of school in the fourth grade. Yeah, the fourth grade I got suspended. I got kicked out of school. I had to go to another school. So if I had been introduced to that book, that may have, affected the role that I was traveling. Because one of the things that I knew is that I was going to go to prison. I was under the belief that for me to be a man or have passed into manhood, that the rites of passage was going through prison. So I think if I had got introduced to a book like The Hill, that would have showed me the real horrors that I wasn't really ready to deal with when I actually went to prison. But I say it's the choice of the parent, because it is extreme violence and there's a lot of profanity. But there are a lot of lessons.
Not to cut you off, but as a parent, you know what I'm saying? I think that for some parents, and you got people out here that is just totally against, profanity. And I just feel like me personally, as a parent, if I had a child that age around 12, 13 that's acting out, that if they're acting out, mostly they probably wouldn't want to pick up a book and read it.
Right.
So how would you, I guess, talk to parents or whatever to try to get their kids to read the book?
I think that the kids will give it a shot is because, one, if they're a bad kid that's, you're thinking that's about to head down the wrong path, that a book on prison, right? Extreme violence, something that they think they can automatically handle because they're a tough guy. And I think if you just tell the kid to read the first, three pages, you tell them, read the first three pages and then you can just put the book down, they're going to be hooked. That's in my opinion, because I start the book off with the goal of grabbing the reader. I keep it almost in the mystery thriller type of thing where it keeps them interested. And I think even for a child, well, bad child, how the book starts off would make them curious. And what's weird is that I have had a lot of church people, and that's what was weird, purchase the book for children or bad nephews and all of those stuff.
Okay. So basically, that's why you are such an advocate for guys in prison or whatever, because, we on Facebook. Yes, and I've made some comments on some of your posts where I see, be a pen pal or whatever to an inmate, and I kind of never understood. And I'm like, now, what is he? But, I guess it is what it is. But anyway, that's my last question. But I want to throw this in here real quick because I know Mom Duke's going to hurry up and try to get me off the phone line.
Right ahead, darling.
I'm going to need you to give old dude, the football player that you're in the picture with, my phone numbers, my emails, my place of residence. I am available.
Actually, his name is Trulon. Are you talking about Trulon or are you talking about Dexter Manley? I don't think she's talking about Dexter Manley.
Dexter Manley is the older one, the dark skinned one.
Oh, no, I don't want him.
In a lime jacket, right?
He too old for granny.
You talking about Trulon Henry. I'm showing you on Facebook.
I'm going to have to go back over there and look one more time because him fat. Ugh. Have mercy.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I just need you to get him my information. I'll hit you up, you know, message you and stuff on Facebook.
I'm going to give you all the numbers. First, see if you're on Facebook and Twitter. That way you can reach out to him. Because I'm sure he is. He got to be on at least. If he ain't on Facebook, he definitely got to be on Twitter.
Okay, so you said you got some movies that you're going to put out or something that's in production?
Well, right now we entering negotiations with a studio to get Laws of the Street on cable. But I'm about to release independently the documentary that features ex-offenders who have successfully transitioned back into the community.
Okay. Well, when you come up with the concept or something else, I'm going to need you to look me up and Mom Dukes and Rhea because we need, you know, some star roles.
I got you.
I'm going to quit messing with you.
I got you.
Okay, I'm trying to tell you, I'll be over here working on my Pilates to the end because I got to look good for the camera.
Wow.
That's all I had to say. I just sit back and listen.
Wow.
Okay, thank you, Miss Kane. Do you have anything else you'd like to ask Lamont or add any other comments?
You know, Granny got to thank, honey, because I used to smoke that reefer. And sometimes my mind crossed out. So I listen up.
Huh?
Well, in the meantime, I wanted to say that, you know, your book, Lamont, should do a lot to, you know, help these youth to make that decision as to not wanting to go to jail because, like I said, that the violence in it, there's a lot of violence, not only in the book but in real life. And if they can visualize that, which I did, it would definitely deter me from wanting to go to jail if I was a man. So
what?
As many youth as you can get to, you know, to read that book, you know, through the parents or however, you know, I think it should be done because a lot of our black youth are doing things and going to jail and they're not coming out being productive citizens, number one. So, therefore, if you can deter them from going to jail in the first place, that would be a good thing.
Right. And Delicious, one of the other things that was pointed out to me that I didn't even really take notice to, that it focused on how fake friendship can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never even picked that up until somebody told me.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about in the book, right?
Yeah, like how kids go to jail. Yeah, how kids go to jail or get in trouble because they follow in the pack. And then when you get in the prison, all bets are off. It's every man for himself.
Yep. That's the truth. That is definitely the truth. I've experienced that, you know, when I went to jail. You know, all my friends, they were no longer my friends because when you go to jail, you're doing that time by yourself. I don't care if you had somebody and on the crime with you, they didn't get caught. You're going to do that time by yourself. And you don't have any friends because when you go to jail, the only friends that you will have is your family. But the people you ran around with and hung out with, they are gone. You know,
in a lot of cases, family be gone.
Well, sometimes, yes, yeah, sometimes. Because I was fortunate because my family was there. You know, my children. Well, my daughter, my son, he was a little mad at me. But my daughter, she stuck it out with me. I was in a relationship with a guy. And, you know, I broke off the relationship because, number one, he was not interested. When I went to jail asking him to send me money, do this and do that, you know, it was a long, drawn-out story, but when I was with him on the street, it was a whole different story. So I just told him, I said, well, you know, we can just dissolve the relationship, you know, because I'm not going to be in here worrying about you looking out for me, and I'm worrying about what's going on out there with you. But, you know, and when you go to jail and the people who stick by you, you can basically say that they're locked up with you as well. So I know that my family was, you know, going through the mental part of being locked up as well, because they have to send you money, letters, phone calls, this, that, visits, you know. So you're basically locked up, you know, mentally, you know, along with the person who you care about who is in jail.
Right. Man, I don't want them to, I don't want your listeners to think that it's only for bad children or bad people, because I wrote one of the things that I constantly focus on when writing anything is that it's entertaining.
Right.
So if you have never experienced prison, you ain't being bad, and you just want to, and you like, what is it, hood novel, street lit, or whatever it's called, or you want to experience something different outside of your Jackie Chan and the Albert Hitchcock and all of those stuff, and you just want to try something new that's going to be completely different than anything that you probably have written so far,
mm-hmm.
then I'll say give the hill a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I can vouch for it. It was definitely a good read, you know, besides what I had spoken to you about, what I thought was need a little bit working on, but it didn't take anything from the story. And, you know, I would suggest anybody who, like Lamont had mentioned, wants to read something different, you know, to pick up the hill, because it's very entertaining. It's graphic in nature and violent cursing and this and that. But once you get into the story, it, you know, it'll take you to a whole, it'll put it on a screen for you, so to speak. Are you planning on making a movie out of that, Lamont, or what?
Well, somebody contacted me and asked could they give it to their peoples, because they think their peoples are turned into a film. So me personally, no, because I don't have the means to create a prison story. It was hard enough shooting Laws of the Street in the street. So
mm-hmm.
I don't have the capabilities at this time to do like
a prison.
To all those elements that will be needed to make it a successful production.
Oh, well, never say never, because you never know.
No, I said this time.
Right, because you never know, you know, someone might be listening in on this call and say, oh, well, I'm going to give Delicious a call so she can get in touch with Lamont and let him know what's up, you know, because...
Oh, yeah, I want that call, though. People, if that's how you feel, people, you know, every dollar gets us closer to our goals, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to email you a site that you can go to that will... that gives funds for different projects too. So you might want to check that site out and, you know, work from that perspective of it.
Oh, and can I say this?
Yeah.
I have, now, what's weird is that no school has told me no. I haven't even asked no school. I just know that the nature, what I'm assuming. But I have been getting hired, you know, because I'm on the motivational speaking, blunga, blunga, blunga stuff. So I have been going in schools, and they've been having me talk about the prison experience, to deter kids and all of those stuff. So it might not be as hard as I'm assuming, because I just assume that. But my team, I'm sure, going to explore all those options. But I say that to say that when there's a will, there's a way.
There's a way.
And when there's determination, nothing can stop us. So if you're a school teacher, you're a principal, or you have a child that's in school, and you think having Lamont Curry come to the school might help, you know, if it's help the kids or what have you, I'm always open for that.
Right, because, you know, you have to look at it like this. Nothing is impossible. Everything's possible, you know, just look at it from that perspective. And if you're getting these calls into these schools, like, you just might run up against somebody who would want to fund you and help you to get that movie out there so the kids can actually see it, you know, because like when I read the book, it was like I could see these things happening. I could, you know, I could feel the thing that happened in the shower with Sherman, you know, and feel the stabs and the, you know, it was just something that I could feel, and I could actually see it. So if you have it up in the movies, you know, where these kids can actually see it, you know, that'll give them a better, you know, a visual of what it's like, and that may be more of a deterrent as well, because you know they had the thing on A&E, Scared Straight.
Right.
But
yeah, you might need to link up with them.
Mm-hmm. But that, you know, those kids knew that they were only in there temporarily.
Right.
You know, so I don't know how much of an effect, because in the end it stated how some of them was affected by it, but we don't know what those kids are doing today. You see
right.
what I'm saying? So,
right.
you know, some things work, some things don't. But, you know, if you can get your, you know, your books in the schools and the colleges and, you know, get a movie going and, you know, different things like that. So, you know, I applaud you, and you know, never say never, because you know it's a possibility.
Listen,
that
know,
this
you
might
know,
happen.
You know, I don't never say never.
Mhm.
You know, I don't.
Well,
I don't never say. If what happens is when I set my mind to that's what I want to do, I want to turn the heel into a movie, then that's when I'll take action towards it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, my focus is just releasing these books and getting Laws of the Street on cable. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had to, I'd go around the hood and climb inside one of those big metal trash cans and build a bunk bed to make it look like inside of a cell.
That's ratchet.
Because you know that's about how much space, you know that's about how much space in it anyway.
That's true. That is true. But, you know, it's a possibility that, you know, something can be, you know, will come of it. You know, just, like I said, I'm going to send you a link to where you can get fundings and, you know, work at it from that perspective and just keep doing what you're doing, you know. Who knows? There's
right.
a millionaire
well,
still going around giving people millions.
I don't know,
but
we
need the final.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what I can say, what your listeners can do is they can go purchase a copy. Help push
and
me
closer. And they get it off of Amazon.
Yeah. Well, if they want an autographed copy, they have to get it from LamontCarey.com or LaCareyEntertainment.com to get an autographed copy. I would prefer. Either or doesn't matter. If you get it off Amazon, that puts me closer to that bestseller mark where I'm getting etching towards. But if you get it from me directly, you get the autographed copy, and you know, you get an envelope that I licked or some shit.
Ah, well.
Okay then.
Okay.
That's good. So I'm putting those in the chat room and Amazon. So it's also on Kindle too, right?
Yeah, it's on Kindle as well.
Okay. Now, how much? What is the cost of your book?
My book is $15. Kindle is cheaper, which was a mistake on my behalf. But you know, I want to give because I'm not too familiar with the digital. You know, I'm just learning that stuff. And so the hard copy is a big expense for me. So because the hard copy is a bigger expense, it costs more for the hard copy. But the hard copy you can let somebody else read it. You can keep it as a keepsake or what have you. You can have it autographed versus the Kindle. You can't even share it with nobody else. On the Kindles, if you have it downloaded, so
right.
there are some benefits to both. If you
right.
order it from LamontCarey.com, you'll have it in 2 to 3 days. If you get it from Kindle, you'll have it in 2 to 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it from Amazon, it might take 2 to 7 days for you to get it. So it depends on what you want, but I know I still like turning pages.
So you would rather them to order from Lamar Carey or Le Carey Entertainment?
Yeah, I mean that's what or from Amazon. If you order the hard copy from Amazon, that still works. I mean, do what you feel. If you want Kindle, you want to download onto your Kindle, then cool. I just want you to have it.
Right.
But if you're trying to help me become a bestseller, then Amazon, or LamarCurry.com is the best site.
Okay.
Do they have to pay to download from Kindle, or is that something that's free?
Oh no, I know. Oh no.
No, you have to pay.
I don't know. I don't need
it. You have to pay the cost of the book, but it's cheaper on Kindle. But you have to pay the cost for the book. And
right.
So if you get it from Kindle, it'll be cheaper. But you get it from Le Carey or Lamont, you have to pay for shipping and handling, as well as
right.
from Amazon too. So
right.
however you want it, you know, just support
right.
Lamont Carey.
The point
and
is,
get the book.
However you want the book, you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
If you like 10 miles. Around D.C., you might even get it delivered. So we done delivered a whole lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you in a state that I'm coming to, I always have them on hand.
Who did you go through for, like, publishing?
Le Carey Entertainment published it.
Oh, didn't know that. Wow. Well,
yeah,
I got a book need to be published, too.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Okay.
I know I'm laughing, but I'm serious. I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Miss Kane has got a book out. Well, she's written a book.
That's what's
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That is a big thing because so many, I mean, just about every person I have met, they say they're going to write a book. But so few write it. So that's
mm-hmm.
that's a major success.
Yep.
And once you write that first book, just like Delicious, once you get that first book finished, you're going to be addicted.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if I want to take that route because Mom Dukes is a great writer, number one. And she kind of, I've always had a passion to write. And she just kind of inspired me with just the look of her books and how her books are formatted. But I don't think that my passion is basically running my mouth. That's my passion and promote. So I don't really feel like I'm just going to, you know, it's really not enough time in my day. And then I'm trying to make the right decisions on who to just put my book out there with. You know what I'm saying? Because Mom Dukes gave me some constructive criticism about my book. And I appreciate that. But I just don't want to make the wrong steps. You see what I'm saying? Because you got a lot of people that do write, but it takes, you know, I don't know, like a bigger step to make that book successful. And I'm not, I just don't want to, I'm not going to keep going and trying to write. I've only said that I wanted to probably put out maybe 3 books, this book, another book, and then come back once I've reached my success and do like an autobiography of my life. And that's it.
Right. Well, since you like to talk, you might want to consider doing like an audio book.
Mm-hmm.
You go in the studio, you take your time, you read the pages that you wrote.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so that might be the route for you.
I'll definitely look into that, but I'm I'll probably be hitting you up on Facebook or whatever, but I, you know, like I said, I wish both of y'all, you know, the best of success because, like I said, I haven't read your book yet, but I'm going to get a copy. Yes, I am. And I know all about the prison life because I done dealt with folks that's been in prison, and I don't want to take away from your interview. I just want to go back on something that you said, that it wasn't a lot of movies that have been put out that kind of pinpointed a lot of things about the prison life. But if you
right.
recall, HBO did have, what was the name of that? Oz?
Oz.
That was deep.
Mm-hmm.
That was deep. That little series, yeah, that was deep. So So I think maybe
I only saw pieces of Oz because I was in prison when Oz was on. So I can't really judge, like, how real or, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, they had some real stuff.
Yeah, but the same thing that was going on in Oz is basically what's going on in that book. When you get the book, Miss Kane, and read it, you'll see, because Oz had the same. They had drugs, they had homosexuality, they had murder, violence. You know, basically the same thing, but, you know, seeing it vivid like that. But like I said, when you read the book, you're going to see the same thing. You're going to visualize what's going on in this book. And this book is a little, to me, the book was more violent than Oz, because on Oz, some of the people that was cut up and stabbed up did survive, you know. But in The Hill, I don't think anybody survived.
And it will be like that. And maybe Lamont is a very well-spoken person, so I'm thinking that either he can link up with somebody, like, you know, come up with, like, a business proposal or something and reach out to, like, A&E, somebody that will be interested in funding to try to make a movie about that, even with, what's the guy named that networked with Antoine, Mitch?
Mitch Cradle.
Yeah, even him, and it's a couple others that I done got a chance to meet or whatever. So either I have to find their name and their number or whatever, but somebody like them, I mean, you have to always kind of start, I guess you could say, a little small or whatever, and then later on, if it becomes, like, very successful, just go back and redo it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just know I seen one prison movie with Master P.
Right, I saw that movie, too.
What was that?
That was a good movie.
I can't think of the name, but
State Property. I think that was the name. It wasn't.
It couldn't have been that. Cause that's where that was State with
Property is Jay-Z and them.
Yeah, Benny Siegel now.
Oh, okay. Well, mm-hmm. I saw the one with Master P in it, but I can't think of that. I thought it was State Property.
Yeah, I seen that one, too, but I don't think it had nothing to do with, like, you know, it was okay, but it wasn't like an Oz type movie, because if The Hill is basically better than, what, like you said, Mom Deuce, better than Oz, then I would see that Oz would be the closest thing that could relate to a book, which what Lamont wrote. I don't think there's nothing else out there. I mean, they had a series on what it was, Fox Prison Break, and that was good. But it was too fit for TV. And a lot of times when you get those, they're too fit for TV. But see, with HBO being HBO, they can put in certain stuff that's not going to be able to go on regular TV.
Right. Well, like I said, when you get the book, you know, you'll see for yourself, because like I said, when I read it, it was like visual to me. And some books, you know, don't really some books are captivating to me and some books aren't. This book was captivating to me because
because all of my contact information is inside of the book. So people that have read the book, they have bragged and been like, I guess they were shocked that they finished the book in like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot me an email, but like, I couldn't even go to sleep. I had to find out what happened next. And that's how I came up with writing part two, because they was like, please tell me there's a part two. And enough pleases.
Uh-huh.
I said, all right. So I started writing a book last month, I think. Last month.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
January.
Yeah, because the ending was kind of like, it was sad for me, but I'm not going to give it away. But, you know, it does call for, you know, seem like it should be a sequel or something to, you know, uplift people or something, you know. But kudos on doing a sequel to it, you know, because sometimes sequels are hard to write, because I did a sequel with my first book, and at first it was kind of like, now where do I go from here? But once you get to writing, it'll just come to you. But people have series, and I'm not going to write. I think I have one more part to write to my first book, but I don't know when I'm going to do it. Because, like, writing sequels is like, you know, kind of like, for me, it was kind of, what am I going to say next? What's going to happen with this one? How am I going to do that? You know, but I got through it.
Right. And the sequel, just to give a little away, is it's a higher security prison, mm-hmm. which means it's a lesser amount of inmates that are running around, and it's like a whole nother level than the Hill was. Because you know how prisons have minimum security, maximum security, lesser security. At each level, there's a different environment. There's a different culture. And so in maximum, the real maximum security is like totally different than the maximum high, I mean, medium high security that the Hill was written in. And so it's like a total different environment. One of the other things that you will learn, I think, once you read The Hill, is that there are two different cultures that exist in prison. There's the administration, and there's the rules of the convicts. And the rules of the administration can get you put in a hole. You violate the rules of the convict, you can get killed. And the two cultures are against one each other. So you have to walk, and in order to survive prison, there's like this line that you have to walk so you don't violate either side. But Sherman doesn't do that.
Wow.
Sherman finds himself in situations where he should have thought better.
That is true. Well, is there any Rhea, do you have any questions for Lamont?
No, I've had that answered. Sounds interesting.
Huh?
I say I've had that answered. Sounds interesting.
Okay. Ms. Kane, do you have any closing remarks for Lamont?
Yes, I do. I'm going to need him to pass my information to Trulon Henry. By the way, take your Facebook messages. I just sent you a message. Okay, then. Thank you.
All right, I got you.
So, Lamont, do you have any closing remarks that you would like to leave my listening audience with? What are you going
to
be doing?
I would like to leave your listening audience with this. I enjoy that they're hanging out with us, learning more about me. I appreciate you, Ms. Kane, and the other quiet host that you have in there.
Rhea.
And Rhea. And ladies and gentlemen, not only do I want you to check out The Hill, but I want you to check out all delicious 300 books. And go to Facebook and holler at Ms. Kane, help her decide which direction she should go with her book.
And what are you up to these days, Lamont?
My website is LamontCarey.com. Last name Carey, spelled like Mariah Carey. Lamont, spelled like Lamont from Sanford and Son. You put them together, LamontCarey.com.
Okay, so what are you up to these days? What are you? What is your next venture?
Lately, I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements, in like institutions. I was even hired to go and speak at a drug court. So it's interesting. At first, it was just spoken word, or it was the play. Now it's, if things are really picking up for me as a motivational speaker. So I'm doing classes on how to write, I mean, how to take an idea and turn it into a book, to how to write your play, or how to change your life to become successful, blah, 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 blah. So I'm doing
all kinds. So you're doing classes on that?
Yeah, the classes, I've been getting hired to, like, well, I'm getting hired to come in and teach classes, like maybe like a school or something, but I'm about to start throwing separate classes, like mm-hmm. that I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to start posting reserve now, that boom, 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 boom. And then I'm about to go back to my first love, which you experienced. You even got an award for my first love, right?
I sure did.
So I'm about to do my first love. Yeah, so I'm about to do my first. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're going to be hooking back up with Kevin to do my first love, or are you venturing out on your own?
That's what I'm trying to decide, because Kevin has a lot going on, and I'm trying to decide how I'm going to go about it. That's my partner forever, so chances are I'm going to be doing it with Kevin again, because we always have fun. But so they know my first love is a show that I do that is a tribute to the beauty, strength, and grace of all women. It's a red carpet affair. We have paparazzi. We have open wine bar. And we usually have three artists perform. Like, we done had jazz artists, R&B and soul, gospel, the whole nine. And it's a night where we try to pamper women. The men are required to walk the women to their car at the end of the show. They're required to give up their seats and the whole shebang.
Just
so,
to treat us like the queens we are. And the very first one I went to, I really felt that I was the only one. I felt really special, the very first one. Not to say that they all weren't special, but the very first one was beautiful. I mean, it was just a beautiful affair. So if you get that going again, I will be participating.
All right, and I'm thinking about releasing them on DVD, too.
What?
My first love shows.
Oh, they were recorded?
Yeah, you don't remember me jumping from camera to mic, or had cameramen off in the corner? You don't remember the
But I didn't know what was going on with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm also going to probably do, I know I'm going to do my event, Raise a Man Again, where we try to connect black boys with black men who run programs that can help black boys find their path in life.
Oh, wow. Now, that's wonderful. That is definitely wonderful.
Another project we just wrapped up is I adopted Cadoza High School in Washington, D.C., and we wanted to redo their libraries with books that our children want to read. So we had books like How to Start a Business. We was asked for books like How to Start Hair Salon Company, Barbering, Alternative Trades if you don't want to go to college, because all kids don't want to go to college. But we got books on preparing for college, that kind of stuff. And next, we're looking at doing the same thing for some schools in Africa.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. It's very good that you're busy as you are and also helping people out. You know, that's a good thing, because a lot of people don't even care about the youth. They're just letting them go by the way and, you know, not even thinking a second thought about them. So I'm just glad that we have people like you who are uplifting them and, you know, trying to see that they are doing the right thing.
Right.
You're very much appreciated for that.
I appreciate it. And if any of the listeners, purchasing the heel will help me in funding all the stuff that I set out to do. And you can even go to the site, even if you just want to make a donation, you can do that as well. You can, you know, so we open. Because I am not successful by myself. I haven't got where I am by myself. There's Delicious. There are people that I encounter on the street that inspire idea. They're the person that smiled at me. You know what I'm saying? So nobody, in my opinion, no one is successful by themselves. It takes somebody to buy my book to make my book a bestseller. It takes somebody to say, you're doing a good job for me to keep doing it. You know what I'm saying?
And right, so, right.
If we just remember the smallest act of kindness can be something all that somebody needs to make it to the next hour without killing themselves. So we never know how bad somebody else's situation is. We always assume ours is the worst. But if we treat people with kindness, be nice or whatever, if you didn't show the kindness, if you just be nice to complete strangers and not frown your face up because somebody spoke to you or cut you off in the car, you know what I'm saying? You,
right.
One, you don't add stress to yourself. Two, you don't add stress to them. And we all need each other because we can't exist without each other. So I thank all of you for everything you have done. Just by you sitting here listening to Lamont Kerry, then I hope in some way I was able to part something that could be beneficial to you, because I know in return you're doing something. Wherever you at, whatever job you're doing or whatever you're doing, it reaches me and helped me in my business in some form or some fashion.
Right,
so I'm grateful.
Right. And that's how people should be, you know, just humble yourself, be grateful, be thankful, and, you know, pass your blessings on, you know, because they're not yours to keep.
Right. And if you work for Sprint, just know that I love you.
Woo, Sprint, okay. Well, we're going to wrap this show up, and I appreciate everybody who came out in the chat room. I had three guests, Lisa, Tammy, Miss Kane, and everybody who's listening, wherever you're at. I appreciate you guys for coming out. And Lamont, I really do appreciate you being a guest on the show. And come back anytime. And especially when your next book comes out. Or, you know, like I said, just come back anytime. And I'll introduce you out there and let people ask you questions and just get you out there. And I'm going to send you that link for the funding. And, you know, hopefully that'll help out as well. Because we need to help each other out. And it doesn't cost anything to, you know, give somebody some advice or, you know, to help somebody out with the problem. So it's not always about the money. You know, when you tell them, I tell you this, you pay me that. You know, it's not always like that. And anytime I can help somebody, that's what I'm going to do. So with that being said, Rhea, she must have went to sleep on me.
Wow.
Wow, but, you know, with that being said, Lamont, thanks for hanging out with me. And you have a safe night. And
all right.
I appreciate you dropping in.
All right, LaCurryEntertainment.com. You decide to reach me, my management. You can call 202-841-3520. So I appreciate you, Delicious. Until next time.
Okay.
Sprint, be gone.
All righty then. Okay, Lamont, you have a good evening. And thanks again.
Okay.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
All right, everybody. That was Lamont Kerry. He's local from the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. And if you haven't got his book, pick his book up, The Hill. You can go to his website, which is Lamont Kerry or LaCurry Entertainment, and pick his book up. Rhea?
I'm here. I'm pushing the wrong button.
I was just calling. I said, she done went to sleep on me.
No. I was answering you at first. And I'm just talking, and I'm like, she can't hear me. And then I got the pushing button trying to get you off of mute. I'm like, oh, God, here I go again.
Yeah, I was just calling. I said, Rhea, I went to sleep. But, you know,
no.
Like I was making the closing remarks, you know, with Lamont, you know, being here. You know, I appreciate him coming on and, getting his book out there, because a lot of these youth that are coming up now, you know, may need to read that book, you know, to deter them from, you know, these crimes that they're doing. Every day you're hearing about some youth doing something, like the guy, I don't know where that was, the guy went in and shot the school up.
Yeah.
You know, then I understand he was being bullied. That's, you know, why he, or then I heard something that one of the guys that he had killed or was shooting at or something had went with one of his girlfriends or something. But needless to say, a lot of these youths that are doing these crimes need some type of deterrent. And, you know, maybe, you know, reading Lamont's book, or if he gets it into a movie, this, you know, may, you know, save, not maybe, if it just save one life, you know, from going to jail, you know, that'll be a good thing. Because
exactly.
I'm telling you, and then look at the little 14-year-old that killed his mom because she wouldn't let him be in a gang. Now he going to be in a gang, all right, but it's going to be a gang of people that he don't even want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these youths, man, they need something else in their lives to, you know, help them realize that crime does not pay.
Exactly.
It does not pay. And once they get that in their head and, you know, get that going for them, then maybe we, you know, could, you know, not saying that it's going to deter all crimes, but, you know, at least, you know, the ones who are not doing it, that'll make a difference. Because I'm telling you, it's terrible. It's really bad, and, you know, people stealing people's shoes and youngsters going in raping, you know, women. You know, it's terrible, and the kids raping the girls at school, you know, so they need some type of intervention. And, you know, like I said, that might help. But you have any last remarks you'd like to share?
I know I have two people in the Maryland, D.C. area that I'm going to either get the books for or have them pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds interesting. And I'm interested in seeing his plays as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good interview, and he's fun.
Right, right. He's a comedian. He is. But, you know, he's doing a lot of things here. And, you know, like I said, I commemorate him for that because, you know, you got people who are not doing anything unless you're dishing out money or, you know, you're doing something that they want you to do, you know, which is okay. But, you know, if you can help somebody out, you know, just by, like he had mentioned, you know, asking them, can I help you, or helping them, or giving them a smile, or, you know, just doing something to brighten up somebody's day, because you never know what a person is going through, you
That's
know.
Certain.
So, you know, you can't always discount a person because they have a sad face. Maybe if you smile at them, you know, it might cause them to smile, you know.
Exactly.
Many a days, my lips have been on the ground. And, you know, somebody will say something, and I'll just die laughing, you know. So it works. But this is the end of the show. I'm going to give you a call later in the week. We'll probably get to the strawberry letters
okay.
with this show coming up, because we have been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. So we'll probably do the strawberry letters and something else to go with that show. But like I said, I'll give you a call, you know, sometime during the week to let you know what's going on with that show.
Okay.
So with that being said, thanks, everybody, for coming out, hanging out with me, Rhea, my special guest. And everybody have a nice weekend. Look forward to talking to you next week. Good night. Good night, Rhea.
Good
thanks,
night.
Darling.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night, everybody.